Lately, I've been doing a lot of thinking about grass, but none of it to date has really found its way into my spiritual thought process. Moving into the home last year, we were pleasantly surprised with the garden which came along with it. Great, this was an ideal place for children to play in, have football games, sit out on sunny days. I did start to factor in how many times in the year the grass would need to be cut, but that wasn't going to be an insurmountable problem. No, the problem was going to be our dog, which joined with us as a family around the same time we moved in. Having heard the horror stories of dogs and the holes they dig, I wondered how bad this could really be. Well, months later, I have been attending to several potholes in the garden. Well, this has forced me to think about grass, something which I'd never really given much thought to in my life. Sowing the seed, topsoil, watering, hoping for rain, sunshine at the right times, and then the sheer delight when blades of grass start to appear. There is something very refreshing about a verdant landscape. It's often been said that green is one of the most relaxing colours that we can look at. It is the most dominant colour on Earth. And when it comes to grass, some believe that 20% of the Earth's land area or surface is covered in grass. Every blade of grass is a continual reminder to God's great covenant command in Genesis 1 verse 11, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass." In today's podcast, I'm turning to one of the many references to grass in the Bible. In fact, it's in both Old Testament and New Testament scriptures, and it's the phrase that we read, "All flesh is grass." What was said through the mouth of Isaiah was quoted and re-emphasized by the Apostle Peter hundreds of years later. Isaiah said in chapter 40, "All flesh is grass." He went on to say, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth." He goes on, "The grass withereth." And then he says this, "But the word of our God shall stand forever." And then Peter himself, he takes this up, 1 Peter 1, 24, 25. And he's making the very same point as Isaiah. That's good for us to remember. In other words, Peter doesn't borrow language from the mighty prophet in order to illustrate an altogether different point. No, it is the same application. It's the same meaning. So what is the meaning? What is the message? It's straightforward. And if we use Peter's angle, we can see there is a big difference between that which is begotten by man or given life by men compared to that which is from and given life by God. Think of how Peter speaks of the believer's holy life in his chapter there, which must grow from first being born again. And he tells the church that this new life in Christ, it doesn't have its origin, its beginning in a human seed. No, not corruptible seed. We're not born of a perishing seed. We're not born of that, even if it gives life and it's vibrant, but it will always inevitably fade away and die. We're not given life in Christ like that. It's the incorruptible seed. So what is this incorruptible seed? Can we get our hands on it? Well, he makes it clear. It's the word of the living God, not something that will spring up in time and perish in time. No, the word of God. And Peter clarifies it even more. And he says, "The word which endures forever is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." These are monumental statements. But have you noticed that the heart of it all is this sort of grass, comparing the word of God and the gospel in the word to grass that has its moment, it has its glory, it has its luster, but it is cut down like the flower of the field. It fades away. From all of this, one thing stands out to me, and it's this. There is a glory and a beauty in the fields of the world, but nothing compared to the glory of God's word and truth. You know, Isaiah brings to us this contrasting view of glory. Only there in Isaiah 40 verse 5, he said, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it." I love those words. All flesh shall see it. There's a certainty, dear Christian, about the revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Thank God the gospel has gone forth and it is going forth across the fields and the harvest landscape of this world that is the peoples of the world. Immediately afterwards, however, the voice said, "Cry," and Isaiah wants to know from God, "What shall I cry? What's the message, Lord? What's the message for then in Isaiah's day? What's the message in Peter's time? Well, 2022, 2023 fast approaching. What's the message? It's just the same. My dear friend, it's just the same. All flesh is grass, and all goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. Now, putting aside perennial shrubs and evergreens, we know what this means. Most flowers have their peak and they fade. Grass in some regions, under certain conditions, it can fade. It can get brown. Sometimes it's impossible to grow. If grown for farming reasons, it will have its length. It will have its striking appearance, but it's cut down. God is saying the people is grass. Do you see the emphasis? The people is grass. This is what we are. And the glory, which may well be affixed to men and women, which charms human hearts, it's soon gone. And that reminds me, and it reminds you, of mortality, of our limited time in the spotlight of human existence. But the glory of God in the gospel is revealed constantly. The glory and strength of men is often exposed when weakness takes over. But with the word of God and in the gospel of our Savior, there is a power and a life and a substance and a majesty which never fades. It never tires. You know, men will try to cut it down and they will fail. They will attempt to concrete over it. That is the pages of Scripture, but it will always break through. Interesting to note that Isaiah connected the withering of the grass actually with the Spirit of the Lord blowing upon it. That would refer, I believe, to his striving, to his judgments. And when the Lord breathes upon men, what can they do in terms of the judgments of God? When the Spirit of God breathes upon the God-breathed Word of God, there is an altogether different outcome. And William Cowper summed it all up well when he said this: the Spirit breathes upon the Word and brings the truth to sight. Precepts and promises afford a sanctifying light.